Imperial Baron looking for a run and then Drought in the straight they race, and Broadreach out wide has gone up with Cameronic and Seaswell to hit the front. Then came Tristram behind them. Drought is struggling with Imperial Baron. Cameronic is in front. Seaswell and Broadreach coming at it again from Tristram. Broadreach put his head in front on the outside. Here's Aberiddy on the rails. Aberiddy! Aberiddy's won the guinea.
And Aberiddy got up, man. He never did. Cleaned them up. Gary Dowdy joins us now. He was on board. G'day, Gary.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Look, we're well, mate. You must smile and remember that day with a lot of joy and a big chuckle. The seas opened up for you.
Yeah, he was, you know, like 250 to 1. They actually bet 330 to 1 about the horse. And I actually had a nice lead up, like leading up to the guineas. I was on a pretty handy horse of Colin Olderson's that went amiss about a week before the guineas. He was in the top three in the betting. Got quite a bit of publicity about him going amiss and that I was left without a ride in the race, and Steve Watkins must have seen that, who had ridden quite a few winners for Steve. And he rang up only on the Thursday, I think, when acceptances were done on the Thursday. He asked me that either Wednesday night or Thursday morning to ride him in the guineas, and I said, oh, yeah, just down there to make up the field. But, no, it was very, very good and very surprising, but, no, it was a good result for me anyway.
Gary,
maybe not for the punters.
Unless you're on, of course. Gary, it's Matt Nevitt here. This is Big V Racing this afternoon. So when Steve Watkins gave you the phone call and asked you to ride the horse, was he giving the horse any chance himself?
Look, not really. He was just an honour trainer, Steve, and he placed his horses usually quite well, but he sort of had a bit of opinion of this horse. It actually ran last in the Stud Stakes 2 weeks before, and Stephen Burridge had ridden him, and he knocked back the ride on him to go and ride at Werribee that day at the provincial meeting. So Steve wasn't feeling real slack that night. I can bet on that.
He'd be regretting
that. I think
that.
They've only just finished repairing the jockey's room after he kicked the wall out.
Yeah. But, no, it's just sort of, it was just a pick-up ride, and as I say, his form was just, but He was a bit of a handful. He was a stallion, and he had a mind of his own, but he just put everything together that day. I was going to be up there. Steve wanted him up there from a half-decent alley. He was rearing up in the gates and carrying on, and he stepped away on his first. So I came back, and you could see Pat Hyland was on the favourite Drought, and he was going to get hammered, which he got hammered at about the 1,300 and came back. And I missed a lot of that interference and flipped up the fence. And I thought, oh, what a ride. You went around one horse. It wasn't going good enough to be much closer. And as things were hooking out and making their runs, I was just sucking up in behind him and kept getting through and finished up coming from second last and went around one horse. But it just sort of worked out good for him, you know.
You know, Gary, if you look on the net, they've done a comparison of another Caulfield Guineas that was won by God's Own, a similar situation where it was out the back stone, motherless last, and they've split the screen to see and get people to vote. Which is the better run, Aberiddy or God's Own coming from near last?
Yeah.
What happened at the top of the straight? Did you think to yourself, I might be a rough place chance here? Or
yeah, exactly. I said, hell, this thing's going to run into a place, you know, and then really flattened out and got up. I think he beat Tristram.
Yeah.
Jeff Murphy, who I'd ridden quite a lot of winners to the honour of Tristram. And Broadreach might have ran third, who was absolutely jog-trotting coming at the corner, was just going to win. And, yeah, my horse flattened out and really, really hit the line. And, you know, the last three quarters of a furlong, he passed about six horses, you know.
Do you remember the celebrations that night, Gary? Surely you were drinking the good stuff.
Yeah, it was. We actually had a barbecue lunch at Steve's that afternoon, you know, and on the Sunday afternoon, there's not Sunday races then.
Yep.
And everyone was, oh, what did you get out of winning the guineas? I added an extra 500 on because I think I took 500 off and playing pool that afternoon.
Hey, Gary, you can say it now, 330 to 1. Did you have anything on it, 250 to 1?
No, not at all.
Nothing? Unbelievable.
And jockeys don't bet, Steve. Sean, you know.
Oh, of course. No, never. I just wondered if you might have had a little something on the sly with the missus. Now,
yeah.
Gary, you've got a cutting in your scrapbook. You rode six Group 1 winners. You had a terrific career. I think you had about four Group 2s, 10 Group 3s, over 500 wins. Great strike rate. But there's one cutting I love where you made a splash.
Oh, yeah. I think that was the headline of the thing, Doughty finishes apprenticeship with a splash.
Tell us about it.
I'd ridden three. I come out of my time, say, on the Monday or the Saturday. I rode three winners at Cranbourne on the Wednesday or whatever. Like, apprentice to Tommy Harrison. I'd stayed with Tommy, rode for him for 17 years. And Tommy and Colin Alderson were the leading trainers virtually at Cranbourne. And I was stable rider for both at the time. So I rode three winners at that meeting for Tommy and Colin. And then the next day was Yarra Glen. It was like, you know, 85 degrees, 90 degrees or something ridiculous. It was going to be 38 Celsius or something. Anyway, I was in the first and the last, and race four and five were both scratched because of the heat. And they didn't run them. So I went to the races for the first and the last in 38 degrees. And we sit around the jockey's room at Yarra Glen all day. So I threw some favours in the car and decided to go. I won the first. And decided to go for a swim. But anyway, I picked up a ride in race six. I thought, yeah, right, I'll ride it, sort of thing. Anyway, went down there, had a swim, lovely and cool spot, fell asleep, got up, went back, went in as I'm rushing back to the track. I said the horse that I was riding in this race six was actually in race five, not race six. And he's walking around with a saddle on, and I knew Quinny Scott Scullers, who, like, you know, had been a great supporter of myself. And I thought, oh, no. Anyway, I finished up in the shoes room. They had a bit of a laugh and fined me 300, I think. And, so the rider, Red Dowdy, finishes the apprenticeship with a splash, referring to the three winners the day before and what happened that day.
After a swim down the creek near the racecourse and a camp under a tree, it was a good day.
And contrary to what people said, I was actually down there by myself.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
After all those years.
Hey, Gary, I just wanted just one more on Aberitty. So just about every time this year, this time of year rolls around the Caulfield Guineas, there's a debate around whether or not there should be a three-year-old in the Cox Plate. Aberitty's next run was actually in the Cox Plate, wasn't it? But it didn't go as well as the Guineas.
I thought he could win the three-year-old mile and a quarter race that day. I forget what they call it now. But there's always a three-year-old over 2050 the same day. And I wanted to run in that, but Steve wanted to run...
The Vase, is it, I think? Is that right?
The Vase, yeah, that's it. Anyway, I was on the outside of a horse. I drew the outside, got into not a bad posse, and I was on the outside of a horse called Bone Crusher. He decided to go at the 1400 or something. He just pushed me out of the way like a little rag doll, and off he went. And I just tacked on the back of him, but that was about the last I saw of him. You know? And I had to ride him a 48.5, I think it was. Which I did do.
How much do you have to eat for the week?
It was a lean week. It would have been a lot nicer if it had run in the three-year-old race, but anyway.
Would have been no barbecues of Steve Watkins that week, leading up to 48.5.
For sure, yeah. He was a good supporter of mine and Steve as well, and we had a lot of luck in sort of restricted races and that, and I just, you know, was there and had a bit of publicity and got the ride. That was it. You know.
These days, you and your wife, Kelly, train up in the Gold Coast. You've trimmed the team down a bit?
Yeah, we usually have between 18 and 20, and we've just cut back to half a dozen at the minute. They're doing a lot of upgrades to the track, and it's going to be great when they finish it. They're putting tunnels in, lights in. They're going to have night racing. Going to be a synthetic track, a poly track actually, so that if we get some downpours like we do get here every now and again, they can transfer it to that. So they'll never lose a meeting. But at the minute, we've got one little training track, and they have done a good job with another one across the road from where our stables are. So it's not a bad time to cut back, and we'll probably keep it around that sort of number at the minute as it is anyway.
Gary, finally, you had a few bad falls up that way too, didn't you?
Only one, really. I only had, you know, I had more sensational looking falls in my career, but this one, so the horse went, his head went to the left and went down. The first thing that hit the ground was myself, my head. I had five fractures in the skull and severed the optic nerve to my right eye, so I've got no vision in my right eye. But, that was in 2000, and good as gold now. I still ride a few horses, work just a couple of my own each morning, keep my eye in, keep fit. No, that wasn't a pun on words, keep my eye in. Just to keep your finger on the pulse, I still like to ride the gallop. All good.
You're on the right side of the grass, that's the best part.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on you, Gary. Great to catch up, and I must have been reminisced.
Sean. Good to see over all these years you haven't lost that beautiful silky voice that you always had.
You know what's caused it? I think too much of the singing syrup in the early days, too many of the fags. That's probably what made it drop down a bit,
Gary. Always had a great voice.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, Gary.
See you, mate.
No worries.
Gary Dowdy joining us there. Aboriginal, $251.